Hello, Zev, and your latest film, The Man Who Saw Them Arrive. It's all about UFOs or flying saucers.
That's correct. Yes, it's a very interesting story about Colin Cameron and what he experienced in 1968, sort of witnessing a UFO land and subsequent what happened to him after that. Yes.
So, how did you get to be making this film? Because you do it in collaboration with a person who was a friend or a relative of Collins.
That's correct. I met Andrea. And she's Colin's cousin. How I met her is a bit of a sort of a coincidence. I met her at a talking queue where she was talking about Colin to a group of people and sort of like it was a bit of an event, and she had that going in the queue library and had a whole group of people listening to her story. And in the break, I got a hold of her and we started talking, and she elaborated more about his story, and I was fascinated. And I thought, well, this would make a great documentary. So we sort of started having meetings and planned it out. Within like 2 or 3 months of that meeting, I started working on a documentary and filming interviews.
Yeah, so the UFO, I mean, the film, it doesn't just talk about Colin's story. You actually bed it in some research around the whole phenomenon and how it interacted in the Australian consciousness, but also a bit broader. So, can you explain to listeners a little bit about your research process?
So the man that saw them arrive is sort of it begins with Colin's journey and his individual experience, but it also dwells into the broader subject matter of the UFO phenomenon, particularly here in Australia, where you've had quite a lot of sightings, quite a lot of incidents. And also, I've spoken to UFO researchers and sort of touched on other sightings and events as well. One of the most prominent features in this documentary are the Westall witnesses, who 3 or 4 of them tell their story and what they saw in 1966, which is quite compelling. So I've got that in there. I've got Bill Chalker, who talks about his book, Hair of an Alien, which is really, really fascinating story about Peter Curry and the fact that they found evidence of a so-called species hair on the body of Peter Curry. That's a really fascinating story. And George Simpson also has his own story with Nothing on Radar, the Valentich mystery, which is about a pilot who disappeared in the 70s. So it's really quite a broad documentary, as well as telling Colin's story. Yes.
And you talk about Bill Chalker. Bill Chalker is actually a scientist. And so he brings this a certain amount of gravitas to the situation, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He's a very well-renowned ufologist, and he's a scientist as well.
He approaches it in that sort of way, doesn't he?
Yes, he approaches it in a scientific way, and he absolutely believes that there's something out there, and there's something that's we can't explain, and there's evidence to the fact that there is something out there that we don't know about. And he explains it very well, yes.
You concentrate on Colin Cameron because, of course, the impetus was his cousin's talk. But it really took a hold of Colin, didn't it?
That's correct. After one night walking along Kew Boulevard, he said he witnessed a UFO land and subsequent contact as well. And after that night, he wasn't the same person. He did suffer from mental health problems after that experience. And as his cousin stated in the documentary, he was fine. He was before that incident, he was working, he had a job, he had his career, but just after that night, everything changed. So I truly believe something did happen that night, and it's a real mystery. And I think the fact that he had suffered this kind of mental collapse, yeah, mental collapse, so is testament to the fact that something did happen. Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting to me is the phenomenon went from being flying saucer to UFO, because unidentified flying object is a less specific term, isn't it?
That's correct. Well, now they call them UAPs.
What does that
So
stand
the
for?
term has changed over the years, obviously.
What
So,
does
and now
UAP
that
stand for?
unidentified inanimate objects or something, UAP.
You're right,
Yeah,
it's called
so
an unidentified anomalous phenomenon, as
yes,
in unidentified, not sure what it is.
bit
Yeah.
of a mouthful. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
that's right. But yeah, as I said before, now it's all over the media, and the American government have released a lot of files, videos and photography of all this topic, and it's really heating up now.
Why do you think the sightings that you talk about all seem to have happened at a particular time in Australian consciousness? Like it's 66, 68, early 70s. It's around a particular time. Was there any reason do you think that might have happened?
Look, I'm not altogether sure, but definitely late 60s, early 70s was a lot of sightings happened during that time, as Bill Chalker stated in his interview. A lot was going on. Now, we don't know why those sightings happened, but there was quite a few. There was Westall in 66, and in 68 there was Colin Cameron's story. And there was a sighting in Baldwin as well, and Kew, and around Clayton. It seems all kind of linked to me. I
Well, yeah,
mean, the
that's why I asked the question. The other thing is that you're talking about, is Westall the one about the kids at the school?
that's correct. Yes, that's correct.
That's a
Yes,
wild story, isn't it?
that's right. And that's been catching on too. They were on Australian Story recently talking about their experiences. That is a wild story. The fact that there were so many witnesses to that event, you can't dismiss it.
But
It's
also the aftermath, which was officialdom saying, you're not allowed to say anything about this.
yeah, that's right.
That
The
was
army
curious.
officials, men in black, they all came, and tried
Very
to.
curious indeed.
Yes. So it's that's quite an event, and it's similar to what happened in there was an event in Zimbabwe and an event in Brazil as well, with the one in Zimbabwe were a whole lot of school kids as well. So I mean, it's clear that there's obviously something out there that we don't know about,
Did you have any particular challenges making this film, Zev?
The challenge for me was to be patient with it, because it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. As I was doing the research, the topic became bigger and bigger, and more people got involved. So the challenge for me as a documentary filmmaker was to be patient and just go along with the process and do it step by step without thinking too far ahead. That was the main, because it's all very well to get very excited, but you can lose yourself in the process if you get too far ahead of yourself. So I always maintained a relative calmness to the whole project, because I didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was it grew and grew and grew. Yeah.
Also, how did you get the older footage?
Well, Cameron kept footage on DVDs we had from Andrea. She showed them to me. So there's actual footage of UFOs spinning in the air, which were from his DVDs. There's footage of dots in the air going very fast 1 minute and then coming up and then disappearing. There's that footage. There's photographs. There's video footage of the actual burnt circle in Kew. There's video footage of people investigating the burnt circle in Kew. There's a lot of documentary evidence to suggest that this event, something happened. There's a lot of documentary evidence I've got in this film.
So this film's going to be shown. The Man Who Saw Them Arrive is going to be shown at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival.
Yes, on July the 18th at 8:30 p.m. And it's another film is following that. Another science fiction film, the Belgian Triangles. So it's going to be a full-on event. And not only have I got the documentary, I've got the musician who wrote the title song at the end. He's going to be performing live as people coming in. And I've possibly got a sort of retro style stall being set up in Brunetti's as well for people to look at. So I'm trying to make this a bit of an event. Yes.
Okay, thanks very much for talking to me today, Zip.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.